setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were created to do, where you can do it, how to get there. We're talking about moving from paycheck to purpose in your work. Life is too short to just work a J-O-B. You know this inherently. Whether you know what it is that you're supposed to do, you know that you were created to contribute. If I said created to work, some of you'd go, ooh, it'd give you this like sick feeling, right? Because the perception of work is what I'm trying to change. But if I said you were created to contribute, you'd go, all right, I think that squares. Yeah, absolutely. So, where are you? Where are you on the path to fulfilling your purpose? I can tell you this, a man or a woman who are on purpose in their work are going to be better in their relationships. There's two areas of purpose in our life, relational and professional. We're going to focus on the professional. And if you're not where you want to be, because maybe you just don't know what that is, what's that role I'm supposed to fill? Maybe you know what it is, but you don't know how to get there. Or maybe you know what it is, you know how to get there, but family and finances or failure are holding you back. So welcome to the conversation. 844-747-2577 is the number. We'll get to the calls in a little bit. But first, let's talk about failure. Let's talk about failure at work. This is tough. Like, nobody wants to talk about this. And by the way, failure is everybody's big, big fear that they verbalize. Oh, I'm afraid of failing. Let's talk about failing. And we're going to have a little bit of fun with this in a second. You're not going to want to miss this. This is going to be great. But let's talk about practically what do we do when we fail, whether it's an epic failure or it's a garden variety failure. Two simple things. And boy, oh boy, this is really easy to understand. It's easy for me to teach. Very hard to do. So I want to own this up front. Two things you do when you fail at work, and you could apply this in your personal life, but we're talking about in the workplace. Could be something that I just made a boneheaded decision. I said something I shouldn't have said, whatever. Okay, here we go. Number one, we got to face it. We have got to face it, which I want to warn Madison, you got to get on a mic here because I got to involve you here in just a moment. So be ready. Face the failure. Oh, this is where people blow it when they fail. They actually make the failure worse by not facing it. It blows my mind. Blows my mind. Face the failure. The best thing to do is just deal with it. Hey, I blew it. Whether it was a mistake, which is an accident, by the way, or a really poor decision. Now, quick little caveat. I'm gonna have some fun with this segment. Can I just for a moment remind everybody the difference between a mistake and a bad decision? Thank you. A mistake is I walk. Oh, in fact, we had a mistake happen here on the show. I'll use that. A mistake is I was standing outside my studio door about 6 weeks ago, had a full cup of coffee in my hand, which is always not so good of a decision. As I move fast, I talk with my hands. I got a cup of coffee in my hand. Madison is my producer, and she was putting show stuff in or doing something in the studio. I don't know what you were doing. And the door was kind of barely cocked open, and I was standing right outside getting ready to come in, and she's doing her job leaving. And as the door opens, I turn with my cup of coffee. Madison's coming out full speed. Neither one of us saw it. It was a mistake on both of our parts. That's a mistake. We bumped into each other, coffee all over me. Thank God I have a couple backup shirts at all times in the closet back behind the studios. That's a mistake. A poor decision is I'm rude to somebody or I do something that's just really highly questionable and it's a boneheaded decision. But it kills me when we have moral failures or whatever, and we go, well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You actually decided to steal. That's not a mistake. That's a dumb decision. So can we stop calling really dumb, stupid, harmful decisions mistakes? Not mistakes. You decided to punch the guy. It's not a mistake. I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You made an awful decision. Okay, now back to the point of failure. So we got to face it. This just happened, Madison. Here's why I got you on the mic. I don't know if you saw this. But Jay Williams, who is a basketball analyst for ESPN, goes on Twitter yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. And the Celtics, the Boston Celtics NBA team just hired an African-American coach. Okay. Now, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for Jay Williams on this because I'm a basketball fan and a sports encyclopedia. I just am. I love sports. He goes on Twitter and says something to the effect of congratulations to this guy. And I forget his name. He's an assistant with one of the teams. And so he says, congratulations. So exciting to see the Boston Celtics hire their first coach of color. Except for the fact that Bill Russell, one of the greatest players of all time, was the first African-American player coach. And then there's the guy, Casey Jones, who was the coach while I was growing up in the bitter rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers. And then there's Doc Rivers, who won an NBA championship. So all that said, he gets on Twitter, and I don't know if he was trying to be woke, but this is a basketball analyst, Madison, going, congratulations to the Celtics. So, of course, Twitter kills him because Twitter kills everybody. I could go on Twitter right now and go, the sun is extremely hot, and four people would attack me. It's just a fact. Twitter is the wasteland of people that are miserable. They're looking for somebody to whack. So Twitter kills him on this. Like, really, dude? And it wasn't nobody got on him about his opinion. He just literally didn't, I guess he just forgot about all those people. And so he gets crushed. I mean, he's trending. And here's where my point, Madison. He doesn't face it. He goes on Twitter the next morning and says, about the Boston Celtics tweet, I have since changed my password. It has been updated. Of course, I knew that wasn't the case. He does the old, somebody hacked my Twitter account to say that. He didn't face it. He made it worse. Twitter crushed him again. Hey, face it. Just go, I did something dumb. And everybody goes, okay, yeah, we knew that. And then we move on because we've all done dumb. All right, I got to move through this. I got to race. I'm running out of time. We'll have to do the funny thing in a second. Here's the second point. I face it. I got to own it. Then everybody moves on. The oxygen's gone from my dumb, boneheaded decision or my mistake. And then the last piece is, I forget it. I got to move on. I got to forget it. Trust me, everybody else is forgetting it. But when we don't forget it, it keeps bringing it back up. Failure happens. It absolutely happens. And we just got to deal with it. It's not the end of the world. Face it. Forget it. One other little thing. When we face the failure, it's our opportunity to learn from it. What does Jay Williams learn from this Twitter disaster? Maybe before I fire off some emotional woke attempt, I just think about before what I'm going to tweet that is this really true? Guy suffers humiliation. He'll get over it. And people will maybe forget it for a while. But just own it. All right, don't move. Your calls coming up. All right, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Let's go to the city of brotherly love. Start providing clarity and confidence so people can courageously step out on the path of their purpose. Kate is going to be up in Philadelphia. Kate, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
I just have a quick question in regards to just how to tell my boss something important that is happening within our company without naming names. I am in a leadership role, so I'm just trying to figure out how I can do this appropriately while protecting people's names in the meantime.
Okay. Say that a different way. Give me a little bit more. I understand you're trying to be sensitive even in how you ask me. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm actually just trying to be really condensed with it because I don't want to ramble. But the current situation is We have been able to work remote 100%, so we're going on almost like 17 months now, but our company is requiring individuals to go back into the office after Labor Day. So it has been brought to my attention by numerous people that once that mandate is required after Labor Day, that they are actively looking to leave our company because we're not offering any type of flex schedule or remote work.
Got it.
Where our local competitors are offering that and they are hiring for some of the same roles. So okay.
I got you. I just wanted that extra context. And so,
no, I understand.
And so you are saying, how do I tell my leader about this, that these people are planning to leave without outing them?
Yes, because there's been a few people that have specifically told me directly that they will be looking and that they've already been looking. And a little bit more backstory here quickly is that we're a manufacturer, and a couple years ago, a division of our company was purchased by another company. So we are now a part of this new company. However, the existing company we were a part of are allowing their representatives to work from home. And they are a local competitor and employer. So a lot of us have relationships with that old company.
Okay.
And so we're directly competing with them too. Yeah.
So I think we simplify this. So one more question, and then I'll tell you what I think on this. What are you seeking to accomplish? Forget the people's names. Why do you want to tell your bosses? And I'm not questioning you that you shouldn't. I'm just saying, what's your reason for sharing this with the leader?
Yeah. So because we are running extremely lean, which is fine. However, some of these individuals who'd be looking to leave have been with our company 15 to 20 years. And we've been able to prove that they can work remotely effectively, actually arguably better with less distractions. So from a retention standpoint, I don't see why in the current climate we can't offer some type of flexibility to keep these individuals we're running super lean.
All right, so now I'm up to speed. So the reason is not to make the leader aware that some people are going to leave and we're going to be strapped. That's part of it. But the real reason is, hey, I've got some intel that some people are going to leave us because you guys are making us come back to work in the office. And I just don't see the evidence to why we're doing this. So I just want to give you a heads up. I can't tell you who it is. I don't want to betray confidence, but I'm really concerned. That's really the biggest reason.
Exactly.
You're hoping to change their mind.
Exactly. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I had mentioned something earlier about a specific person, and my manager did drill me down to a name, and then things failed from there. And I do not want to.
Oh, so this has happened before, they betrayed your confidence.
Exactly. And ugh. Now there's a new name that just transpired ugh. Today. And so I'm just very uncomfortable.
Okay.
And
so here's the deal.
I don't want to lose people.
Yeah. No, listen, your leader has already kind of burned you on this. So
correct.
Is there any evidence that they wouldn't burn you again if you go in and say that? And they're going to go, who the names, and they force you to either tell a name or you create tension between you and the leader because you don't tell them the names. Is there any evidence that that's not going to happen?
No, that's why I'm calling.
I know. Okay, good. So here's the deal. This is not your problem. You are an awesome person, and I think you have high levels of conviction. And so you feel like, hey, I got to take this on. I got to be the one that goes to my leader and says, this is a bad decision. But
sure, I'm an Enneagram 1.
I know. I can tell. It's beautiful. That's why I asked you all the questions. Look, this is not your problem to solve. The only thing I'm okay with you saying is you go to the leader and go, hey, do you have any concerns about any of our team? I'm not going to quit, but do you have any concerns that anybody would quit because of this? Let's see what he or she says.
We've already had that conversation. They are very aware of it. It's company-wide, they're aware of it.
Oh, well, then you need... Okay, then this is a done deal. Don't even bring it up. The way you couch this is like you were needing to share this information. You've already talked about it. They know. So this is not your problem.
Yeah, it's another person to...
Doesn't matter.
...to add to the notch.
Does not matter. It's not your problem. They already know that some people could, and they probably expect people will quit. Not your problem.
Okay.
Wasn't that so freeing?
Now, what if it's something that I do as an introvert, enjoy working from home, and I'm a lot more productive as well?
Well, sorry. Sorry. If that's about you, if this whole call was you, then, and again, you can go in and go, hey, I'm an introvert. I think I've proven that I can work really well from home. Will you reconsider? You can do that, but don't you think they've kind of already thought through that?
And I apologize. This question wasn't about me, but I'm saying to add to it, it's hard to fight for someone when I agree with the reasons why they would like to work from home. And granted, I understand, you know, I've heard your stance on it and Dave's, but
well, okay,
in the current climate, there's a lot of people
offering
it.
But you know what? I'm really glad that this has happened. So I want to clarify something with you on the phone, because this is very important to me. It's not important that everybody that listens to my show agree with me, because that's impossible. That would be insanity. While I like people to like me, it's really not important that people like me. But I, on my Instagram page right now, we have a video that's blowing up. And it's like 95% of people are agreeing with me, and then 5% are taking shots at me, which is, it's kind of expected. It's kind of low, actually.
Par for the course.
Yeah, but listen, it was on this article that I shared a couple days ago on the program that there are about 7 states, as I recall, that are offering return to work bonuses as high as $2,000 for people to come back to work. So there's a video on that. And then the other video that we just put out last night that's going bananas is this video of this gal who she was in a remote job like you, Kate. And she gets called by her leader to come into a meeting in the office. And she's got little kids. So she lines up childcare for the kids. She goes into the office. And the meeting ends up being only 6 minutes. And she gets all upset about it and quits. She quits her remote job. Remote job. Because she had to come into a meeting. And the quote in the article that I read is, it was like a boomer power play. And I got it. Oh, good. You're laughing. So here's my point. I went on to say, I'm for remote work if that's what your company believes in and you've proven that remote works for you. I don't think it's the best option. I've made that clear, but I'm not anti-remote work. Let me say that one more time really slowly for everybody. I'm not anti-remote work. I'm not. My point in ripping this lady is that she quit her remote job because they asked her to come to the office. Well, you could quit anytime you want to. I just think it's stupid. And I called her an idiot and people got so offended. So there it is. Kate, I'm not anti-remote work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make you?
I completely understand.
Okay, good.
I apologize.
Kate, no, you don't need to apologize. But some lady took after me on Instagram and said, you called everybody that works remote idiots. And I go, no, I didn't.
No, that's.
Because I'm not, because that would be idiotic. If I did that, that would be idiotic. Here's my point, Kate. You are in a situation where you're going to have to choose. And I get it. And if you prefer working from home and remote is a good fit for you, then go find a company that will allow you to stay remote. But trying to talk this current company in to you being the only one who doesn't have to come in, I think is a futile effort. Folks, we got to choose. And let's stop demonizing people who actually prefer you come in the office. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you go from paycheck to purpose. And a big part of that is getting started. That would be stage 4 of my 7 stages. Stage 1 is get clear. Stage 2, get qualified. Stage 3, get connected. That's where we get the opportunities, and then we accept, and then we start. So in between that Stage 2 of getting qualified and stage 4 getting started is the connected. And one of the ways that you can use that will make your life a lot easier, because everybody can't just, you know, absorb all the stress and the anxiety that comes with searching for a job. I mean, some people just, they jump into it and they're fearless. That's very few people. For most, it stinks. And my friends at ZipRecruiter.com have figured out technology and they've just made the whole process enjoyable. Why? Because you go to ZipRecruiter, I can't talk. You go to ZipRecruiter.com and it's one click. Fill out your profile, upload it. They immediately start pitching you to job openings. They're not holding your information. They're pitching you, matching you. And when one of the companies, the many, 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 many companies, get that match, if they decide to call you, they contact you directly. Now you're in. People who use ZipRecruiter.com, candidates on ZipRecruiter.com are three times as likely to get hired. Companies are looking, they're paying ZipRecruiter for talent. That's you. You use the service for free. ZipRecruiter.com. Go now. It's another arrow in your quiver. I'm all about it. Success is waiting for you to act. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Toronto, Canada. Roman joins us there. Roman, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Mr. Coleman. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's up, Roman?
So, Mr. Coleman, I'm 26 years old, and I want to become a scientist, and that's like 9 to 10 years of school. My family is moving to Canada pretty soon, and I don't want to be in debt. And, of course, I'm getting older, so there are some other factors there as well. So, but I do want to become a scientist, and I love science. So just want to ask you, how should I navigate through that without getting in debt and taking care of my family at the same time?
Okay, so we got two big questions there. Okay, I can talk to you about navigating and doing it debt-free, but the taking care of my family, that sounds like a pretty hefty deal. What does that mean?
So I have a young sister who wants to become a lawyer, and my mother and my grandmother, and they're, of course, they're going to live with me once they move here. So, I mean, like helping them in that sense would be just like, you know, be there for them and guiding them every step of the way. And but at the same time, you know, I just want to have, you know, figure out my stuff first so that I can, you know, balance both, you know, my studies and my family.
Okay. So here's the deal. Your grandmother and your mom, they're big girls. It sounds like your sister's on the way to becoming a big girl. So yep. They're going to be responsible for themselves. And you are a support system to them for sure. But you do not have to worry about taking care of them per se, professionally and financially. They need to pull their own weight. True or false?
Yep, that's true.
Okay, great. All right. Got that out of the way. That's not as gnarly as I thought it could be. Let's talk about how you do the 9 to 10 years debt-free. Okay, I know you want to be a scientist. Two-part question. What specifically, or if you don't know the title, that's fine, but what type of science? And then why 9 to 10 years of school, and what does that look like?
So I want to become a quantum physicist. So my undergrad, I'll be majoring in physics and chemistry both. And that undergrad takes about 4 years.
Okay, so you're not, okay. That, so, yeah. All right, sorry, I'm going to interrupt a little bit so that I can stay connected here. So you have yet to start your undergrad, even though you're 26, or you've already done one undergrad, now you feel like you got to take on another one. Help me understand.
So I moved to Canada in 2016, and I was a refugee, so I was not allowed to study in the beginning. And after that, I just worked a little bit, and now I think I'm in a position to actually go to school.
Okay, got it. So we got 4 years of undergrad, and then what's next after undergrad to be a quantum physicist?
So you have to do 2 years of master's and 3 years of course, post-grad, which is your PhD. So, yeah.
Okay. So there it is. All right. And how much is that going to cost you? And give me the range, because you know you can do that. You can kind of do that on the champagne budget, or I imagine there's probably a beer budget if you understand what I'm saying. So what are we talking about? What kind of cost?
So the tuition fee, according to my estimation in Canada, that's going to cost me around 80,000 Canada for the Canadian dollars for the whole 8 years, give or take.
For the 9 years.
For the 9 years, my apologies. Yeah, sorry.
So 80,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and how much do you have saved up for this?
Well, so far, I'm on baby step three, so I've saved up around $10,000.
Well, no, you've saved up $10,000. Well, okay, let me clarify. $10,000 is your baby step three emergency fund, or you've saved up $10,000 in addition to baby step three?
Well, it's my emergency fund.
Yeah, so that's no. So the emergency fund is for an emergency.
Okay.
The college fund is zero. We don't have any money saved for the $80,000.
Okay.
All right. So is that the medium price or top price, or is that a low price, $80,000 for all that? What I mean by that is there's multiple places you can get the master's. There's multiple places you can get the undergrad, correct?
That's very true, Mr. Coleman. But in Canada, unfortunately, like, we don't have community colleges the way we have in the States.
Ah.
So what you can do is that in community college, of course, you can go there for 2 years and then transfer.
Yep.
In Canada, basically, you have to go through a university program, and the other colleges, so to speak, are trade colleges.
Okay. So what do you do for a living now, and how much money do you make? Give me the short answer.
Right now I'm starting a new job as a junior project management, and I'm going to make $60,000 Canadian before taxes.
Okay. So how much do you think, if you just really buckled down, maybe even worked a side job, how much could you make, how much could you save towards the $80,000 in a year, 12 months, based on your lifestyle right now?
Based on what I'm doing right now, I should be able to save somewhere between 30 to 40, give
that's,
or take.
Hey, my man, that's phenomenal. So based on those numbers, it's 2 years. You've got the 80 grand, the entire deal funded. That's huge.
Okay.
What I'm telling you is that puts you at 28, maybe 29 years of age. You are not behind the eight ball. Now, let me throw one other wrinkle into this plan. And I don't know the answer, so I've got to ask you a question. If you get the four-year undergrad and you get the two-year master's degree, are there jobs in the field of quantum physics that aren't the top of the ladder, aren't the dream job, but they are at least jobs in that field? Could you get that with a master's?
Yeah, I think so, because like, there are certain positions that you can do at the university. There are also internships that you can do. So there are, of course, certain avenues that I can explore.
Good. So here's what I'm saying. I want you to consider the idea of getting the undergrad and getting the master's. And even if you can get into the field with the undergrad alone, getting into the field, if we can match our current salary that you're making or make more, go ahead and get in the field. Because you might... my point is don't assume that you've got to do the whole thing 9 years straight. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
I agree, yeah.
And you might have a company go, man, Roman's a rock star. We're going to pay for his doctorate.
Yep.
So I want you getting into the field of quantum physics as soon as you can. The only bar being I got to make minimum what I'm making in my current job now. But I would be patient. And if you can, 6 months from now, a year from now, put enough away for the 4 year, go ahead and start it online. I want you to cash flow your way through this, because here's the deal. You're going to be ready to roll on this financially in 2 years. And I think you could get in the field and at least be in the field, making connections, getting experience. Please don't go into debt for this, because you're going to regret it, versus delaying the journey for a couple of years and coming out debt free. Such a different perspective. Thank you so much for the call, Roman. You're a bright light. I can't wait to see what you do. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our national studios in our luxurious, fabulous Ramsey Solutions Worldwide Headquarters, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Coming up in just a minute. You don't want to miss this. We got some funny fails. Oh, boy. This is a great hashtag that spawned some great stories. We'll get to that, because we've all made some dumb mistakes and dumb decisions, and we're going to have some fun with this. But first, Bellingham, Washington is where we're going to go, where Nathan joins us. Nathan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, it is a blessing to talk to you.
Oh, man, the blessing is all mine. What's up?
Oh, well, so my job right now, I am actually on the job in my really hot vehicle sitting here. Reminds me of that part in your book.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting in that hot. I love that part, honestly. But anyways, my job is I go around to people's houses. I set up medical equipment for them post-operatively. And I teach them how to use the equipment, size them for it, protocols from the doctor. So it's a lot of talking, a lot of communication. So that is a big portion of what my dream is. I want to get over, get into voiceover work. I would love to do commercials, work, you know, from home, have my own studio. I know that's something that you have a lot of background in, and I've connected, you know, with you personally, with your ambitions, and they're similar to mine. I'm just wondering how I can continue to use my job where I'm using my voice, I'm speaking, I'm practicing, driving around, you know, listening to audiobooks, getting the timing down. How can I use my job to continue that skill and ambition to get into the voiceover industry?
I mean, there's no substitute for just, you've got to do it as much as you can. And it's going to be on the side, because if that's what you want to do full time, this is a mindset of, I think, minimum 3 years. You can always beat these expectations. I'm just giving you a general rule of thumb. But I think it's probably 3 to 5 to 7 years before you're doing it full time. How much do you make right now?
Right now I'm making just about 40 grand a year.
How much flexibility does this? Yeah, how much flexibility does this job give you as far as time? Is it pretty much a 9 to 5 type of deal?
Yeah, it's about a, you know, 8 to 4:30, and every other weekend I'm on call. So I do generally have all my nights and weekends. I'm not always going out to, you know, go to people's houses to.
That's huge for you, and I'll tell you why. I was going into radio and television, so I had to get out and about. Voiceover work is what's amazing about voiceover work is you can sit in your closet at home, crank stuff out and send it out and build connections and all that. So it is it is advantageous to you holding down a day job. Are you surprised by that?
I think it's just honestly really good to hear it. It's one of those things you talked recently about. There's the difference between knowing something and believing it.
Yeah.
When I there's things that need to be repeated to me sometimes. I'm like, okay. I have a new baby at home, actually about 7 months old. So I've been thinking, you know, how do I actually balance that with the baby crying as well? When, you know, I come home from work, and I might have an hour or two to practice and kind of get things going because I have a setup, I have a mic and everything. So I'm thinking, how do I, how would I balance that?
Well, again, voiceover work is on demand. It's an on-demand thing. You're not live. So anything that you would do if we're still talking about just voice work is going to be, hey, we need this many things cut and we need you to deliver them by such and such a date. So the difference between you doing this stuff at 7 p.m. when the baby's still awake and you doing it at 9 p.m. when the baby's asleep, we're talking about 2 hours different. So if it's sound, I mean, you know, you could spend a lot of money and you could get a soundproof room, or you can just do the stuff after the baby goes to sleep. I'm trying to answer this as practically as I know how, but I mean, if you're doing a day job and you get a radio station says, hey, I need 10 liners and blah, 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 and I need it by Friday morning, and they send that to you on a Tuesday. There's no difference between you doing that Tuesday at 7 o'clock or at 6:30 when the baby might be tired and cranky and screaming in the house versus doing it at 9 o'clock when there's nobody else making a peep in the house except your wife, and you go in your little room and you knock it out. I feel like you're creating, I think you're creating hurdles that don't exist.
Gotcha. So you're pointing to the freedom that I'll have to actually get the work done, because since it's not live,
yeah,
I can find the time to get the recording and send it in.
Yeah, I think it's a I mean, my point is this is not going to pressure you as far as holding down a day job and taking care of the family. This is a straight side hustle, and it's not going to be that difficult. It's going to take you a while to get some gigs. So you're out there, you're cutting demos, and you're doing everything you can, building a really nice website, starting to connect with people online and find out what that community's like and get opportunities to get yourself out there and build your reputation, maybe do some free spots for some people. But again, all that is done at night or early morning. Like, that's not going to, I just think it's a really easy route for you. Now, let me see. When I say easy, I should say simple. It's going to be a simple path. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be simple. Did I address your fears?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you're overthinking it, man. This is doable. Get out there and start doing it.
Yeah, it's about the starting. You know, I believe in my abilities, and can I ask you one more thing?
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
I got to get to something else. So hit me.
Right, right. So really fast, what would be the best way for me to approach different companies to ask maybe how I could speak with somebody to get connected, maybe people that they talk, who they have do voiceover work for them?
I would see, first of all, if the company actually does voiceover work, get on their website, see if they've got a YouTube channel, Facebook, and if they got voiceovers, then what I would do if I were you, I would do your own cut, take their existing videos or whatever they've got from a voiceover, I would recut it with your voice and send it to them and go, hey, I do this as well. I know you use somebody right now. I'd be willing to do some stuff if you like my work. That's how you make the connections. Show them your work. Don't tell them about your work. All right, Joe, one of the things we love to do is have some fun with work fails. We got a special hashtag that I just can't wait to get to. Let's do it. Work fails. It's impossible for me not to giggle at that last noise. It always makes me happy. Okay, so earlier this week, give you a quick setup. Earlier this week, HBO Max sent out an email with a subject line, integration test email, that went out to a huge number of subscribers. It was kind of a, oops, sorry to hit your inbox. And they blamed it on an intern. They went on Twitter and blamed it on an unknown intern. I think people were like, that's not true. And so they hammered them about it. And it spawned a hashtag that went nuts on Twitter. Here we go. Hashtag Dear Intern. So people were putting out stories of their own intern fails. Here's one. When I was 25, I made a PDF assigning each employee of the company to a Muppet they reminded me of. I meant to send it to one friend, but I accidentally sent it to the entire company. My supervisor, who I had assigned Beaker, wanted to fire me, but the owners, who I made Bert and Ernie, intervened. Here's one. Once I was a junior copywriter, and I applied to my dream job at The Atlantic and wrote copywriter, copywriter, on my resume. I misspelled the very job that I wanted. You're doing fine. this is special. Intern at the White House. I didn't recognize when Vice President George Herbert Walker Bush came to get into a meeting at the cabinet room in the White House, and I wouldn't let him in. Oh, boy. That's awkward. Let's see here. Okay. Let's go. We got time for one more. My very first day as an entertainment reporter. Oh, this one makes me sick to my stomach. It's not even funny. First day as an entertainment reporter, as an intern, I interviewed Christina Aguilera and accidentally deleted the entire interview. Oh, I need Pepto-Bismol. That's so awful. Never getting that interview back. All right, folks, you're not the only person that's ever failed. Get over it. All right, my time's almost up. But you matter, and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to the Rachel Cruz Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruz wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruz.com.